And it's just you and me here now.
You, we praise you, we thank you, Lord, for your love, for your grace, Lord, that you suffered, that you allowed yourself to be beaten, whipped, crucified for us, Lord. But we stand in awe of that sacrifice, that atonement for our sins, Lord, that payment and that paid in full that you did on the cross. And your resurrection from the dead. We worship you, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Help us today guide us into your truth. Lord, this year we pray that you will guide us into simple, single-minded devotion. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. You may be seated this morning. Hallelujah. We welcome everyone here today at Fire and Grace Church. We welcome those watching and listening all over the country, all over the world. It's still quite amazing. It's been an amazing and wonderful year. We've had a lot of victories, a lot of battles. But I was just thinking about reflecting back over 2018, and it has been a good year. Not without difficulty, mind you. Anybody say they've had a few trials and difficulties this year? Yep. But you know something? That's part of it. I mean, that's just the way it has to be. This has been one of those last few days where it's been just a battle for me in prayer and seeking God about what to share with you this morning. And even this morning when I got up praying, asking the Lord, and just, he's like, I'll tell you during praise and worship, is what he said to me. So he did. So I hope you have your Bibles out this morning, because I'm just going to share what's on my heart with you. But let's turn, first of all, to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Actually, you know what? Let's go to 2 Corinthians. We're going to go to 1 Corinthians 2, but let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 11 first. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. I'm just going to tell you this right now, that things are just going to get worse over the next few years. I hope y'all know that. I'm preparing quite a few messages on the things that are transpiring just in recent weeks, but that are going to be gaining steam in the days ahead. Deception is going to get worse and worse. And I'm talking about among believers being deceived. And Jesus said that. Jesus said deception is going to get worse and worse, and deceivers are going to get worse and worse. And I'm just going to tell you right now, deception is rampant. On very basic things that you would think Christians ought to know. Very basic things. But I see it getting worse in the days ahead. There's definitely the snowball is rolling down the hill a lot faster concerning war. Russia, even Putin's talking about nuclear war with the United States this week. All of these things are speeding faster and faster. There's articles coming out that there's three countries right now leading the way for a cashless society, and it's being pushed. I've talked about this over the last few years, but the goal for a lot of the international banking system was to be to move us all toward a cashless society. That the really big push for them is 2020. That's their words, not mine. Whether they will accomplish that or not in 2020. But I'm just letting you know that that's the goal. So things are rolling on just as Jesus said. Now remember, what did Jesus say in Matthew 24? He said, take heed that no man deceive you. Signs of his coming. He said, take heed that no man deceive you. Many will come in my name and deceive many. All right? So he said deception is going to get worse and worse. He said that you're going to hear wars and rumors of wars. Boy, are we there. Right? Russia moving into the Ukraine. They'll probably try to take that this year. That's going to cause greater tensions. Chinese generals talking about firing on U.S. warships in the South China Sea. At any moment in time, things can spin out of control. I just want you to know these things are prophesied in the Bible that we will have them. Okay, so I'm not predicting when they're going to happen. I'm just telling you that things are going to speed up over the next few years. And that any moment, these things can change. But Jesus warned primarily of deception increasing. Even people who claim to know Jesus would be deceiving people. Boy, is that ever true. Just wait till I've got some things to share with you over this next year when we get into January and February. I think it's going to blow your mind how bad the falling away really is from Jesus, from the Word, from New Testament Christianity. It's just amazing. The denial of Jesus as the Messiah is growing. The rejection of the New Testament is growing. Truly, the spirit of Antichrist is rising up even among believers. And there are many people beginning to deny the Lord Jesus themselves. And your mind is going to be blown. But then Jesus said this, after he said, you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. This is all Matthew 24. He said, then they will deliver you up to be afflicted, and they will kill you, and you'll be hated of all nations for my name's sake. What was he saying then? He said, persecution of Christians will increase. We're definitely going to see that in the days ahead. And it's not just physical persecution. It's psychological, mental, emotional, spiritual rejection. But we're going to see that increase. I'm just noticing that the level of animosity toward Christianity and Christians is definitely rising like the tide coming in. Jesus went on to say, of course, that, and then he repeated himself again. He said, and many false prophets will rise and deceive many. And because iniquity will abound, the love of many will grow cold. Many will be offended. They'll betray one another and hate one another. And there's a great also spirit of offense that's rising, even, and I'm talking about among believers. There's a spirit of offense, being easily offended with one another. And that's growing. So all these things were foretold. And I did share a message on this passage a few weeks ago, but I'm going to focus in on a different part of it. But let's read 2 Corinthians 11, 1 through 4. Paul says here to the church, would to God that you could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me. For I am jealous over you with a godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety. Just remember this in the days ahead. We're going to cover this. But the devil is very subtle in how he deceives people's minds. And I'm talking about Christians, and gets them off track. Very subtle. It's very slick. He said, but I fear lest any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. You need to underline that word. What is the devil trying to get you away from? The simplicity that is in Christ. We're going to look at what this word, the definition of this word, in just a second. He says, for if he that cometh preaches another Jesus, whom you have not preached, that we have not preached, or if you receive another spirit, which you have not received, or another gospel, which you have not accepted, you might well bear with him. Paul, you know, you think about Paul, and I've said this before, the Apostle Paul was not a man who walked in fear. I mean, if you remember Agabus the prophet warning that when he went to Jerusalem, he was going to be bound in chains, and the disciples, the Christians there, tried to convince him not to go to Jerusalem, and Paul said, no, I'm going. I know it's God's will for me, and whatever happens, happens. But this is not a man that walked in fear. He wasn't in fear of death. He wasn't in fear of being beaten or persecuted or thrown in prison or anything. But he said this one thing he feared, lest by any means as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Jesus Christ. Think about that. Your mind's being corrupted from the simplicity that is in Jesus Christ. We just sang a song a minute ago. Our viewers didn't get to hear that song, but the simple gospel is one of my favorite songs, but it really is simple. And this is what the devil's after. And let me read this definition. I didn't send this to Kevin this morning because I didn't know what I was preaching on. So this is the definition of this word. Let's see if we can, if you can hear it. Here's how to pronounce it.
Hablates.
There we go. That worked nicely, didn't it? Hablates. I didn't even want to try. In the Blue Letter Bible, the outline of the biblical usage says here, singleness, simplicity, sincerity, mental honesty, a virtue of one who is free from pretense and hypocrisy, not self-seeking, openness of heart manifesting itself by generosity. The word in the Strong's definition says singleness, i.e. sincerity, without dissimulation or self-seeking, generosity, bountifulness, liberality, simplicity, singleness. So as you see, the devil is he's really trying to corrupt our minds. I think some translations even say from single-minded devotion to Jesus. Keeping our minds focused on Jesus, who he is as the Savior, as the one who died for our sins, as the Lamb of God, as the sinless sacrifice, as the one born of a virgin, born in Bethlehem, the one who died on the cross, the one who rose from the dead, the one who is called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace, the one who is called God in the flesh, the only true God, the Creator. The devil's trying to corrupt our minds from the simplicity of that. That he is God, that he is Creator, that he is the only Savior, he's the only way for forgiveness, he is the healer, he is the deliverer, and that he is going to be the soon coming King. In the days ahead, he will be the King of everything. He will return. And the devil's trying to get us away from that. And the distractions, I'm going to tell you, the distractions from that are many. The devil tries to get us away from, you know, rejoicing. You know, and I'm going to tell you right now, I rejoice. I rejoice in the righteousness of Jesus Christ, that he is my righteousness. I rejoice that it's his righteous blood that cleanses me. I rejoice that I don't have to go take a lamb or a goat or a bull or a calf or turtle doves or any other thing to some priest somewhere in some temple somewhere to kill and sacrifice for my sins. I am grateful that God Almighty himself took on a human body and died for my sins. And right now, believe it or not, there are people in the so-called Hebrew Roots Torah movement that are mocking that. It is unbelievable, some of the things that I'm seeing. And this whole departure from the simplicity of the gospel. You know, when I talk about the simplicity, the sincerity, the single-minded devotion to Jesus, I think, you know, I was thinking while we were in worship, I was thinking about when God got a hold of me in 1987. When God finally convicted me of my sin and opened my eyes. I was blinded by Satan. I was blinded by my sin. And he opened my eyes to the gospel, the simple gospel. Turn from your sin and follow Jesus. If you want to go to heaven and you don't want to go to hell. I mean, that was the simple revelation that came to this 19-year-old who now, yesterday, turned 51. But it was a simple revelation. It was a simple truth. And you know what? I gave my life back to the Lord that day fully and completely. And it was by faith. And it was just the revelation of what I could have with him, that I could know him and hear his voice and be led by his Spirit and walk with him and see his power. And that's all I wanted. And I remember the joy of leaving my old life and reading. I started reading the New Testament. I had a New Testament. That's all I had at first. I had a little New Testament that had a little study guide and had all these different subjects. And you could just kind of, and then all it did was outline the scriptures. It'd have a subject like salvation, and it'd outline all these scriptures. And I remember going through that study, and then I just remember reading the entire New Testament. And I'm going to tell you right now, there was nothing but joy. There was nothing but a single-minded devotion to Jesus and thankfulness for what he did for me on the cross and that he opened my eyes, that he set me free from sin and from the devil. And I began to see the power of the Holy Spirit work in my life. And, you know, I was thinking that's we get away from that simplicity, don't we? You know, I didn't read anything in the New Testament about
that I needed to go back and keep Sabbaths and feasts and new moons and all this other stuff, and that was, I better get worried about that. No, I just read the New Testament and rejoiced in my salvation and forgiveness and the cleansing blood of Jesus and what this new covenant meant. It was simple. Anything else is the subtlety of the devil trying to pull you away from rejoicing in what Jesus did on the cross in his resurrection. You hear what I'm saying? Anything else, anything that tries to diminish that at all in your life is satanic. That's why he said it's subtle. It's subtle. The devil can be so subtle to get you away from that, to try to complicate this thing. It's not complicated. See, let's go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 2 that I had you turn to a bit, minute ago. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. When you think about that, then when Paul says this right here under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, when Paul says this, you understand what he's talking about. Not that we don't have to listen. As a pastor, I have to deal with all kinds of things. I have to deal with marital issues. I have to deal with, you know, people with demonic problems and, you know, people that have all kinds of different things going on. And he's not saying we don't have to deal with life, or we don't have to, you know, go to work or go to school or, you know, deal with family issues or whatever. But he's saying here, he's just making a point when he, let's read this. He says, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1, he says, and we'll read through verse 5. He says, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified." Now think about that. What was Paul saying? I'm not going to deal with any other issue that arises or church problem or church issue or whatever. No, he didn't say that. But he was saying, I'm not going to let my mind, I'm not going to let my focus, I'm not going to let my priority ever be pulled away from this simple truth of Jesus Christ and him crucified and what that means. You know what? This morning, I don't know about you guys, but I was enjoying worship. I was worshiping the Lord and praising the Lord and worshiping the Lord. Why? What was I rejoicing in? I was rejoicing in what he's done for me. I'm rejoicing in the fact that my sins are washed away by his precious blood. I was rejoicing in the fact that because of that blood washing my sins away, that now I have access to the throne of God at any moment in time. That the veil is rent and I can enter in, not by my righteousness, not by the righteousness of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ and his faith in his blood on my life. And that I can hear his voice and be led by his Spirit and be filled with his Spirit. What can be better than any of that? Nothing. That's what I'm saying. Why do they want to allow themselves to be pulled into these obsessions with other things? Do you rejoice in the simple gospel of Jesus Christ? Do you keep your focus on what he has done for you? Let me tell you, if you do keep your focus on the price he paid for you, the beating, the mocking, the being spat upon, the whip, then being nailed to the cross and hanging there for hours, even though he never did a thing wrong, and he did that for me, and he did that for you. And when you keep focused on that, let me tell you something. You don't want to sin. If that's your focus, if you realize the price that was paid, you don't want to sin. You don't want to be distracted. You don't want something to slip in and become an idol to you. Even religion. You hear me? Paul says, "And I, brother, when I came to you, I came not with the excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God, for I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. Speech in my preaching was not with the enticing words of man's wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Listen, our goal in life is to stay focused on Jesus, on what he has revealed to us, what he has provided for us in this new covenant, and to seek for his power to be in and flow through our lives to other people. I want to see, that's what I want to see more of in 2019. You know, we had a couple visit from Oklahoma last week. Just came out of the Hebrew Roots Torah Deception, rejoicing in that. Been suffering, the wife been suffering with horrible back pain for a long time. Said she did everything she knew to do. Was trying to keep the law in every way she could keep it. She finally leaves that deception and enters into getting back focused on the new covenant and the relationship we're to have with Jesus and our Creator in this new covenant. And she comes to church all the way from Oklahoma, and I got the testimony the Lord told me to pray for. Lay hands on her, anointed with oil, and pray for her back to be healed that morning. He said, don't you let her leave before you lay hands on her and pray for her. He told me that in prayer that morning. And she immediately testified. She was instantly healed. They flew back to Oklahoma, and I got another testimony that she was doing great. But see, that's what, listen, we got people out there that want to mock, casting out demons and healing the sick. It's interesting, though. They don't do it. Right? They don't do it, but they sure mock it. But let me just tell you, that mama who's got to raise her children and homeschool and work and everything else she's got to do, let me tell you what, that means something to her, doesn't it? And that's what he's saying here. You know what? I don't care. You folks want to get out, want to argue about all this theology. I'm just going to keep preaching the simple gospel of Jesus and crying out that people's faith won't be in just my word, but that it'll be in the power and the demonstration of the Holy Spirit. That's what we should be seeking. That's why in Galatians 3, Paul said, hey, the person that works miracles among you, does he do it by the law or by faith? He was making a point, wasn't he? Let's keep going. Go to Philippians chapter 3. This is something that the Lord gave me just in worship a minute ago. I mean, it all fits. Man, I'm going to tell you what. I'm thankful for the New Testament. Are y'all? I'm thankful for the New Covenant, and I'm thankful for the New Testament. I'm thankful for the 27 books we have that are clearly God's Word. Say, Pastor Dean, you don't like the Old Testament? Yes, I do. Love it. I just know which side of the book that I'm now living in. I'm not confused. Right? Do I learn from the old? Yes. Do I live under the old? No. Not complicated, simple. But yet, the confusion and the distraction grows. But listen to what Paul wrote here. We're going to read Philippians 3, verse 1. We'll start there. See, we overlook these verses, but I want you to really focus in on that first phrase. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. Do you rejoice in the Lord Jesus? You know, what is his title? King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Isn't that his title? Isn't that what it says? Revelation 19. King of kings and Lord of lords. He said, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me, indeed, is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Look what he says. Beware of dogs. Beware of the evil workers. Beware of the concision, for we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Again, he says, we rejoice in Christ Jesus. Do you rejoice? That's what I'm talking about. Do you rejoice in the price that was paid for you on the cross? Do you rejoice in his resurrection? Do you rejoice in the access you have to God Almighty through the blood he shed? Do you rejoice in his presence? Do you rejoice in his power? Do you see any of it in your life? You say, well, Pastor, I don't see much. Maybe you need to rejoice some more. The joy of the Lord is your... Do you rejoice about it? Look, I know we get heavy sometimes and we get oppressed and we get attacked and we go through dark. That's the time you need to remind yourself and thank God and rejoice in what he's done for you. Well, let's keep reading. He didn't stop there. Verse 3 again. For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus. And the word, the verb rejoice there is present tense, which means ongoing continuously and presently. And then he says, verse 4, though I might have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I the more. Notice what he refers to trusting in the flesh here. This is very important. This is what he's equating to trusting in the flesh. He says, circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me? What things? What things were gained to him? His Hebrewness. His righteousness that he thought he had in keeping the law blamelessly. Being a doctor of the law. And what does he say? But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ, yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, and that I might know, or that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which I am also apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. What things is he talking about? What's the context? Come on, my Bible school students. Context is everything. What's he talking about? Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if in anything you be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. What is he saying? I'm pressing toward Jesus. That I may, let's look back up to look at verse. This is just too good right here. That I may know him. Look at verse 10. That I may know him. That I may know him. Not know about him. That I may know him. And the power. Dunamis is the Greek word there. The miraculous power of Jesus Christ. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection. And the fellowship of his suffering. Fellowship of his suffering. Do you know how long I could preach on this passage? You see, this is what Paul was talking about. I don't want to know anything among you. You want to get off and distracted? You want to be a law keeper? You want to run after things of the world? You want to run after and think that the tassels are going to make you more holy? Go, keep running. You know what my focus is going to be on? Not sitting around making tassels. It's going to be on that I may know Jesus Christ and the power of his resurrection, that I rejoice in his righteousness, not my own, that I try to get by trying to keep the law. See what I'm getting at is even this whole Torah observance and Hebrew roots is a distraction. Oh, but we're no. We just love the law. Good for you. You know what I love? I love the one who fulfilled the law. I love the only one who ever was able to keep it. I love the one who did no sin, who died for me and gave me a new covenant in his blood that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. That's what I rejoice in. And this is being mocked and ridiculed. Let me just go on and tell you, folks, and I didn't even really mean to get on this, but this whole thing, this whole Hebrew roots Torah is part of the falling away. It is part of the end time. Deception of Satan. It is Satan subtly pulling people away from just simple, single-minded devotion to Jesus. It really is. I've never seen anything like it in my life as to what is happening now. It's mind-blowing. But it's not just that. I mean, we've got people that are so... And look, and I'm all for researching, and I'm all for trying to find the truth. And I know there are real conspiracies, but there are people obsessed with every single rumor, conspiracy, and theory that comes around. I mean obsessed to the point that that is a distraction. Let me tell you. And I've said it many times before that even in the so-called truth movement, even in the so-called conspiracy revealed or exposed realm, it's great to know the truth, but a lot of it is mixed with lies. So what's the only way to know the difference? You better know this book. You better know this book, and you better know the author intimately, because it's not just knowledge of this book. You got to have the author guiding you as you read and study it. A lot of people study the book, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Why? Because they think they're following the Holy Spirit, but they're listening to a seducing spirit, a deceiving spirit. Let's read this again. This is so good. It almost makes me want to do a river dance up here. And I'm not even Irish. I'm English. Let's read it. Verse 1. We're going to read from verse 1 again. Hey, Pastor Dean, we just read that. Let's read it again. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed, is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the concision. For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I the more circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as touching the law of Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church of God, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, that I may know him. Oh, my. When Paul was a Pharisee and zealous for the law, keeping the law, did he know Jesus? No. This is the point. If that was the way, then there was no need for the way to come, was it? Nope. It's all about Jesus. You know, there's one of their leaders that said in a post that I have as a screenshot, that said, it's not about Jesus. The end goal is not Jesus. Oh, yeah, that's in it. But see, that tells me you don't know who he is. Because if you understand who he is, you'd never say anything like that. He is the King of Kings. Meaning there is no other king. He is the Lord of Lords. Meaning there's no one higher. He is the fullness of the Godhead bodily. He is God. How would you ever say the end goal is not Jesus? How would you ever say it's not about Jesus? How would you ever even use the name in a mocking tone? Jesus. Let me tell you, it's a spirit on these people. And I don't care how big their names are. I don't care how popular they are. It's not the Spirit of God. It is about Jesus. It's all about him. He says, I am what? The beginning and the end. The first and the last. The Almighty. See, that's why these people, these people are trying to throw out the New Testament. But what's so funny is it actually says it in the Old too. I had a person arguing with me yesterday. Arguing with me. Isaiah 9:6. Go ahead and put it up there. Isaiah 9:6. I mean, of course, because there's this whole debate. There's this whole, you know, can I just tell y'all something? The whole controversy and discussion about the Trinity issue has been going on since the church began, all right? Now, granted, God is one, and he has three very distinct parts. He is triune in nature, all right? But he's not three people. We got to get that understanding. Or this doesn't make any sense. For unto us, a child is born. Unto us, a son is given. So you're telling me the child's going to be born, and he's going to be a boy. And the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. I actually had somebody argue with me and say, well, oh, in the Hebrew, the Everlasting Father is just means the originator. So basically trying to say Jesus is not God in the flesh. And I said, well, wait a minute now. Who's the originator? Is not God the originator? Is he not the beginning of all things? Is he not the creator of all things? Isn't it ridiculous? But see, this is what I'm talking about. People's minds are getting corrupted from simplicity. I'm sorry. We may not fully understand the mystery of God in the flesh and the Trinity, but I don't argue about it. I don't even want to fuss about it. I am going to tell you right now, I don't fully understand it, but I just know one thing. When I look at Jesus, I'm looking at God Almighty in the flesh because that's what the Old Testament tells me and that's what the New Testament tells me. So how you would ever say the end goal is not Jesus or it's not about Jesus? We better wake up. Do you see? That is subtle, but that is satanic. I mean, of course the devil's going to sidle up to you and go, you know, it's not about Jesus. All right, get behind me, Satan. But guess what? The sad thing is, people can make statements like this, teachers and leaders, and they're followed by thousands. And you say, deception is not rampant. It's rampant, all right. But this year, let me just go and tell you, make this your focus for 2019. Jesus Christ and Him crucified and the power of the resurrection, rejoicing in that until and seeking Him and hearing His voice until the power of that resurrection is flowing through your life to other people. And you see other people get saved, delivered from demons, healed, delivered from lies, prodigals come home. Listen, you can sit and argue theology all day long with the Pharisees. Or you can be spending time in prayer and fasting and the Word of God until you are bearing fruit, true fruit, the fruit of changed lives. Because at the end of the day, on Judgment Day, you know what's going to matter? Do you know Him? Did you know Him? Did you let His power and resurrection flow through you? Did you bring anybody with you? Through the simple gospel of Jesus Christ. It's simple. He died for your sins. He rose from the dead. He says, believe in Him and follow Him. According to what? The old covenant or the new? And it's simple. Right? And that's what you can rejoice in. I mean, I love that I can get up any day and go pray. And say, thank you, Lord, that the veil in the temple was rent. Thank you, Lord, that by your blood I can enter into the Holy of Holies and find grace and mercy and help in the time of need. Thank you, Lord, that I don't have to be perfect. Thank you, Lord, for your righteousness. Yeah, I want to live holy and righteous, but you know what? Is there anyone that says, can say I'm without sin? Nope. Because if you do, better be careful because I'm going to call you a liar. Because the Bible calls you a liar. So what do we do? It's the blood. It's the blood of Jesus. So I'm just going to ask you a question. Do you know Him? Now, you know what Paul could say? And I'm going to quit. I'm going to quit at 12. A miracle has happened. But you know what he said? Do you know Him? Do you know Him? Do you rejoice in Jesus Christ and Him crucified? Do you count yourself to have apprehended, or do you want to press forward to know Him and the power of His resurrection? Are you satisfied with what you know? How much you know? Are you satisfied with the times you've spent with Him that you've heard His voice and felt His presence? Or are you wanting more? Do you want to continue? Do you want to go deeper in Him? Notice I didn't say just deeper in knowledge. Can I tell you, there's nothing better
that when you finally, you have those times of seeking him in prayer, and all of a sudden that peace comes over you. And the way he does it sometimes, it's beyond our minds. But with me, how he just downloads stuff. You know what I mean? Just kind of like, here's the picture. Here's the understanding. I was asking him for some things the other day, not material things. I was asking him for some wisdom and understanding. And it's amazing. It just like it drops in. Oh, now I get it. Lord, what do you want me to do? Oh, here's what I want you to do. Here's a few things I want you to get busy with. That's what we're supposed to have. What's God want you to do this year? Do you know? Do you have any idea? Say, no, Pastor Dean, I don't. Then find out. I know some things I got to do this year, and I'm already busier than a one-armed paper hanger. I hope I didn't offend anybody with one arm out there. All right, God loves you too. It's easy. It can happen. Soul, you never know. The soul surfer might be watching. So. He loves Jesus. All right? Let's stand. Let's do our song, Simple Gospel, this morning before we leave. I'm going to go ahead and tell you, it's one of the themes of this church. I really believe it. I remember the first time I heard it, I don't know, was it a year or two ago? Probably a little over a year ago. And I remember the presence of God washing all over me. I was in our office / third bedroom praying and seeking God, and this presence of God came all over me, and I'm just sitting there in a puddle of tears going, this is such the truth that we can't allow ourselves to get distracted from. So let's sing this song before we leave. Good way to end the year and enter 2019.
Thank you.
And I reach out and you find me in the dark. Say no amount of untruth can separate us. And I reach out and I reach out and find me in the dark. And you say no amount of untruth can separate us. I reach out, oh, I reach out and you find me in the dark.
Jesus Christ, Lord, and that you said, God, all we have to do is believe, repent, follow you. Lord, it's a supernatural thing, being born again. Lord, I pray anyone out there listening, watching, or those who will listen and watch later, Lord, that you would just, Lord, if they're not saved, if they don't know you, that they would call out to the name of Jesus. They would believe. You died for their sins. You paid the price, and that only you can wash their sins away. That they will believe you rose from the dead on the third day. And that they will surrender their lives to your lordship, to the new covenant, and walk with you and press in to know you more and more every day. Lord, I pray that right now for those watching and listening. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Well, before we get dismissed again, I just want to wish everyone a happy new year. I know somebody yell at me that that's pagan too, but that's okay. Happy new year. I hope your 2019, I hope it ends with you much closer to Jesus than you are right now. That's my desire for you, and that you're still found loving him and walking in the truth. And I just want to ask everybody, of course, it's no hidden thing that we are leaving for Texas today to do a wedding for Matt Long and Jessica Faith. So that's going to be awesome. We're excited about that. Also want you to be praying because I am going to be going to be a speaker at the Question Everything Conference 2019 just south of Los Angeles in February. And
I know we've been talking about Skyfall 2019. We are going to do it. I know we're kicking around June, but maybe not. So we're just still praying about when for Skyfall 2019. So those are just a few things that are going to happen this year, of course. Let me just say this out there. If you're interested in starting Fire and Grace School of Ministry in the second semester, you need to get your application, go to the website and get your application in immediately if you want to start in February, the second semester. But anyway, I think school's been going well. Everybody pray for Pastor Dean's far behind in grading papers. Going to try to do some of that on the drive. But anyway, please be praying for us. Sure, we're going to be around some folks that love us and some that don't when we get to Texas. So, always fun. All right, y'all hug some necks before you leave. God bless.